Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Father, we thank you again for this privilege of today, of this hour, to break bread with my brothers and sisters. Father, please give us wisdom, give us understanding, open our hearts, help us to receive even the utterance that we ask in your mercy you would give unto us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord, beloved. This is Brother Joshua again. By the mercies of God, we have been speaking, and we're going to pick up today on Christian growth as a overarching summary. And we have been speaking recently about the parable of the sower and the different soils that Jesus spoke about. And we have been speaking extensively about the 30-fold soil. Today we're going to move, by the mercies of God, to the 60-fold soil. Let's jump into that quickly, and let us do a quick reminder and build up on that. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 3, the Lord says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, it had not much earth." I'm just giving a quick read. Verse 7, "Some fell among thorns." Verse 8, "Some fell on good ground, and they brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Our reference is Mark 4, verse 3 to 13. Mark 4, verse 3 to 13. And Jesus says in verse 13, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" Jesus is implying and suggesting to us that the parable of the sower is the mother of all parables. And we see these parables, different facets of it, pointed out in different gospels. We see it also, for example, in the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 from verse 4. Verse 5 says this. We're going into the different soils now, like I said, the 30-60-100, but this is a build up to that. This is an explanation that will make us walk into that. Luke 8 verse 5, it says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. We'll see in these parables, Jesus talks about different kinds of heart. H-E-A-R-T. Different kinds of heart. Verse 5, Luke 8, 5. The Bible says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The fowls of the air, he lets us know, pertain to the kingdom of darkness. In verse 12, it says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh the word out of their heart. So the birds that come to devour, the birds of the air, the fowls of the air that come to devour the seed, Jesus is telling us they are agents of the devil. But before they are devoured, let me read verse five again. Some seed fell by the wayside. This is the wayside soil, and it was trodden down. The word was trampled upon. It was trodden down. You know how you tread on something, how you trample on something, you despise something. That's why you are trampling upon it. So we see in this soil, in this ground, this wayside ground, we see a word despising heart. A heart that despises the word of God. So they trample upon it, they castigate it, they tread on it. When they do that, the enemy is glad and says, whoopee, and swoops in and eats up the seed before he changes his mind to let the seed grow in that soil. They trample upon the seed. Now in Luke 8, 6, Jesus said, and some, talking about the seed, which is the word of God, he lets us know that the seed is the word of God. Luke 8, 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So we back up to verse 6 again. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. There was no moisture. Mark 4 verse 6 says the same thing. He said, when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Well, if you marry those two verses, Luke 8, 6 and Mark 4, 6, you find that the hard, rocky ground, there was no water. There are rocks. Rocks don't hold water. They can get wet, but they don't hold water. Mm-hmm. And because they are hard, no root can go in to them. Any crop planted on them can take root. Well, if a plant can't take root in the soil, its food supply is cut off. It's gonna die. So we have here in the rocky soil, we have a hard heart. Hard heart. Their heart is hard. They are not plowed. They are not broken up. The rocks are not broken up. What is soil anyway? Soil is rock that has been broken down. Mm-hmm. So the hard heart is a word resisting heart. Yes, because that hard heart can get wet, but it won't retain water. Seeds can fall on it and get wet from the water on the exterior of it, but there's no water on the interior of it, so that plant cannot survive because the rock will not even let, oh Lord help me, the rock will not let the root of the word penetrate in the rock. Now, if the rock gives an opening, there's a crack in the rock. Now, the root of the plant can go in the crack and grow. And if it is being watered, it can help break up the rock. But if the rock has no crack on it, it has no opening in it, the root cannot grow there, so the plant cannot grow in it. This soil has a hard heart, a heart that resists the word. You remember the first soil had a heart that despises the word. The rocky ground has a hard heart that resists the word. We see that they only receive the word superficially. They don't let the word in to change them, because if that word is allowed in, it breaks them up. It can break them up and break them down to good soil. Just let a plant grow in a rock, on a boulder. Let there be a crack in it, and let that seed fall into that crack in the rock. Yeah, when it starts to grow, it's going to break up that boulder, those roots. But there has to be a crack in it. There has to be an opening in it. There has to be an invitation to the seed to go in the crack. So this soil, they follow their own ideas. They follow the hardness of their heart, what they are set in their ways. They don't want no seed coming to disrupt their lives, you know, coming to break them to pieces so that they may be pliable and usable soils. No, they're happy being a boulder. They're happy being a rock, just standing there doing nothing and barren. Jeremiah 7 verse 24, the Bible says, "And they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward." Let's go to verse 7 of Luke chapter 8. Verse 7 says, "And some fell among thorns, some there being the seed, and the seed being the word of God. Some fell among thorns," meaning the ground, this ground has thorns in it, "and the thorns sprang up with it." Yeah, the ground had seeds of thorns just undercover. And when the good seed fell on the ground, the thorns sprang up with the seed, the word of God, and choked it. Jesus gives us the explanation in verse 14 of that same Luke chapter 8. And he said, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." says this one's they love this life. Mm-hmm. Let me put it in context. God has given us this life, but you can't love the world more than God. We see that in the book of James. It says in James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, there's a difference between the world and this life that we live. You know, God has given us this life to live. But the world in this context, I should clarify, it's the way the world does their things. You know, God may prescribe a certain way of doing things and the world prescribes another way. So we see that the ground, the soil of Luke 8, verse 7 and verse 14, which is a soil with thorns, is a walled, embracing heart. Mm-hmm. It's a world, W-O-R-L-D, not a word, W-O-R-D, but a W-O-R-L-D, a walled, embracing heart, a walled, loving heart. Let me go over that quickly. The soil, the wayside soil, is a word, despising heart. The rocky soil is a word, resisting heart. And the thorny soil is a walled, W-O-R-L-D, embracing heart. So we see all the different heart issues here with the soils. But we see in verse 15 of Luke 8, Jesus said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So we see, beloved, four kinds of heart. Of the four kinds of soil. So we see that the, let me read that again. Luke 8:15, but that on the good ground. So the good ground has an honest and good heart. So we see in the good ground a foundational difference with the other hearts, with the other soils, with the other grounds. Remember, we identified in an earlier episode that the 30-fold soil, the first type of good ground, was the righteous which was scarcely saved. And we read 1 Peter 4:18. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So, in the first type of the fourth kind of soil, we find the righteous, the 30-fold return, who are scarcely saved. And we see that they have an honest and a good heart. But we see also from Romans 10:10 that for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me read that again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So the first entry point of the good ground, as distinct from the three other grounds, is that their heart is different. Their heart is different. Let me read Romans 10:10 again. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart you are made righteous, like the thief on the cross, like we spoke about in an earlier episode. So with your heart you can attain the 30-fold return. With your heart, what you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. So it's heart and minimal work otherwise, if I may use that word. Work in the sense of work of faith. No, no, don't get bent out now. No. Salvation is not by works. We're talking about works of faith. We've talked about that before, so just stay with me, beloved. Stay on course. Okay. So with the good heart of the good ground, the good believing heart, the foundation of a good soul is established. So you have your 30-fold that is the righteous. Now, we spoke earlier also that the ground with thorns is a 30-fold soul that retrogressed, because you can believe and thereafter, because of what you do, retrogress. James says, faith without works is dead. You can believe, and if you are not moving forward from your 30-fold state, you can retrogress, because your lack of works of faith can kill the faith, the bare faith that you believe with, that moved you into salvation. James says, faith without works is dead. But we've already spoken about that. Let me not repeat that. Like I said, we're progressing now to the 60-fold soul. Let's see the parable Jesus gave in Luke 19, verse 11 to 21. And he said, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. This instruction is the word that was sown into them, is the seed that was sown into them." The Bible says, verse 14, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us." Again, let me go back to 13. The instruction was, occupy till I come. This is the word that was sown. This is the command that was given. This is the instruction that was given. That is what should yield a return from those he sowed it into. Okay, let's jump into verse 15. "And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, and he, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, that pound has gained 10 pounds. Now notice he said, thy pound. He didn't say my pound. It's your pound, is your seed, is your instruction, is your word, is your spirit, is your blood, is your power, is what you had given me in your mercy and your kindness that has gained this 10 pounds because I put it to use. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant." Talking to the good ground. "Well, thou good servant, because," here comes a condition precedent, "because that has been faithful in very little have authority over 10 cities. That's the blessing. New blessing, I should say. Because he was faithful, the master said, he gave him authority over 10 cities. Then the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. Now notice they all had the Lord's pound. That pound has capacity, has ability, has built into it all that is necessary and required to attain a hundredfold return, to attain 10 more pounds, to attain 5 more pounds, to attain 2 more pounds, to attain 1 more pound, to attain 8 more pounds. It's in it. Because it's the same pound, because it's the same seed that is given to everyone. But the use to which the servants put the pound, put the seed, brought forth a variation in their returns. Verse 17, still on Luke 19. Verse 17, and he said, this is verse 18, I'm sorry, I should say. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. The first one used the pound to gain 10. The second one, what all he could do was use the pound to gain 5. He gained something. And the master said likewise to him. Now, when he says likewise to him, it means he said the same thing to him that he said to the person that brought 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. So the condition precedent is implied, which was, you have been faithful. Then he says likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Mm-hmm. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is that pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin. I didn't obey your commandment to occupy. I didn't obey your instruction to occupy. Because like we said previously, when you are occupying, you are busy in the master's business. Yeah, because if you are occupying, if you are occupying a house, people will know it's occupied. The grass is cut, is swept, there's no dirt piling up in the yard. You know, you won't let the house go into a state of disrepair. You won't let there be leaking plumbing everywhere that can damage the house. If the roof is leaking, you go fix it. You know, if the window is broken, you go fix it. That's how you occupy, you maintain, you repair, you make better. Because if you don't do that, if you don't occupy the house, guess what? The weeds are going to grow in the yard, in the premises, and grow bigger than the house. Yeah. You're going to have snakes and wild cats and dogs and all kind of things running around that compound because you didn't occupy the house. You let it fall to disrepair. That's called an abandoned project. That's called an abandoned house. Mm-hmm. When you see an abandoned house, you know an abandoned house. You know, the windows falling out, the doors falling out, grass growing everywhere, roof leaking, windows leaking. You know, it's a mess. A big mess. That's not a house that is occupied. Now, this servant said, Lord, here is that pound. Verse 21, for I fear thee, because thou art an austere man, taking up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou sowest not. We can tell from this servant, from what he said, that he's not honest. His heart is not honest. He doesn't have a good heart. He has not kept the word that he heard. Instead, he's ascribing wickedness to his master. Says his master is an austere man. You know, he says he reaps where he didn't sow. So, I mean, Lord, you can't use me to increase your wealth. You can't use me, Lord. You can't give me something and want me to reproduce it and give it back to you. Oh, okay. So your Lord is wicked. But I heard the book of Job say in Job chapter 36, verse 3, Elihu said, I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. Beloved, this servant's heart wasn't right. It wasn't right. So, what are we seeing here? Let's go back to this, to verses of this Luke 19. Let's go back to verse 17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have authority over 10. I want us to have that in mind. I want us to observe that in addition to calling both servants, the one with the 10 and the one with the 5 pound return, calling them good, the Lord commends them for their faithfulness. Beloved, each and every seed planted in us has the capacity to get the hundredfold yield, but the variation is what we, by the same grace of God, are willing to put in. Let me say that again. Every seed has the capability to get a hundredfold yield, but the variation is what we, by the same grace of God, are willing to put in. What does that mean? The variation depends upon our faithfulness. It depends on our faithfulness in sticking with what is required to bring forth the fruit. Whether it's in weeding the soil, weeding the grass away, the weeds, removing the weeds, whether it's in watering the seed, whether it's in fertilizing the seed, the plant, what Jesus called dunging. What is our faithfulness in sticking with what is required to bring forth the fruit? Because the grace is available for all these things. There's grace. It's not by your self strength. It's not by your might. Grace is available for us to remove the weeds from the ground, to water the seed, to water the plant, to fertilize or to apply dung, like Jesus said, to the plant so that it will fruit. Grace is available for that. Let's see that in 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am. Listen now. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. God can and has bestowed his grace on some of us, and it was in vain. What does that mean? We didn't use the grace. Paul says, and the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Listen now. But I labored. There's that work. No. It's not works of the flesh. It's not works of the law. No, it's works of faith. And I labored more abundantly than they all. Talking about his compadres, talking about his fellow apostles. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. I love this. But the grace of God which was with me. What is Paul saying? Paul saying God bestowed grace upon us. Abundant grace. Mm-hmm. In fact, I should read verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 15. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. See, I am the smallest of the apostles. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. God has used him to write a major portion of the New Testament. But why? He says, his grace which he gave me was not in vain. So there were some he gave grace that was in vain because they didn't use it. Paul says, but I labored more than all of them. Yet it wasn't me, it was the grace. Do you get it, beloved? There is grace to labor, but you have to labor with the grace. If you don't labor with the grace on you to labor is in vain. Faithfulness. So we find our next group of 60-fold return as the faithful. They have not just believed according to Romans 10:10 and made righteous 30-fold return. Because if the righteous scarcely be saved, the thief on the cross moved from death to life, 5 seconds, 5 minutes, I should say, shortly before he could die, he was moved from death to life because he believed, because he confessed, because he was made righteous. If he had come down from that cross and were alive thereafter, like you and I are alive and walking on the earth after we got saved, we have to be faithful, because faithfulness is in the doing. Let me say that again. Faithfulness is in the doing. It's beyond the believing and the minimal confessional doing of the righteous. Faithfulness is in the doing. We see, for example, Matthew 24:44-46. Therefore, be ye also ready, Jesus said, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Mm-hmm. Let me read verse 45 again. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Faithfulness is in the doing. Praise the Lord. Beloved, let me stop here for now. This seems to be a good place to stop. And by the grace of God, we'll pick up on this next time. Until then, beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are named of the Lord and he will bless you. He suffers no man to do you wrong. He rebukes kings for your sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You will not harm yourself and nobody's going to harm you. Remember, beloved, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus, go and do exploits in your generation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.